back to another episode of the Paranormal Rabbit Hole, boys and girls. I am your host, Hunter, and of course, you know, Paranormal Rabbit Hole, we're here to dive down those rabbit holes of the paranormal world and bring you stories that you can dive further on when you want to. Also, we have an evergreen catalog, really. I mean, honestly, evergreen, because everything we talk about, you can go back and listen to again, or it's brand new to somebody else. If you haven't, you know, listened to us before, or me, well, us, because I do have a small, tiny, itty-bitty team behind me that just kind of helps me run the show, because without them, I would be nothing. And we're in talks with somebody to have a co-host, so it's going to be an interesting year. Anyways, let's do this stupid preamble. What do you say? Huh? Let's jump right into this preamble very quickly. Of course, you know, if you want to find us on Instagram, you can go to the search bar and type in Paranormal Rabbit Hole Podcast, all one word. You'll see the podcast symbol pop up. And then, ladies and gentlemen, of course, you just follow us there and get little updates about the show. And then I'm going to have it go scroll down to the bottom of this, you know, if you're on wherever you have your rating system, go give us a 5-star, not a 4-star. That's bad, because 4-star treats it just like retail does. They ask you, what did you do wrong? And I'm like, I don't know. I may have said a few curse words that some people didn't like, because most people like to listen to things with their kids. But yeah, that maybe, I don't know. Maybe I was boring. No. You tell me. Anyways, and that's how it goes. If you put a 4-star, I have to have that conversation. No, I don't have to have that conversation. But yeah, if you go down there, put a 5-star, it helps us grow, helps us get more listeners. And of course, we love more listeners because we love you guys. We love that you listen, and we appreciate that you listen. You know, we actually never thought we would have any. I did. I thought zero listeners, but here we are, with just episode numbers just flying up, like the most popular episode being Mel's Hole. And that sounds so weird to say out loud. The most popular episode is Mel's Hole. Let's see you tune into that one. It's not what you think, or maybe it is, if you know what it is, because it's a head scratcher. It's really cool, and there's just an interesting plot twist with a sheep. That doesn't sound any better. I'm going to stop right there, because I don't want to give a spoiler for the episode, but it may sound worse. So I'm going to stop there, and we are going to move on, because I want to talk about first, and I'm going to do a little live thing on the Instagram, or not a live thing, but I'm going to do a little video on the Instagram, doing it for the gram, on this very subject that we're about to talk about, but not the show, but just a little quick headline for the beginning of the show. I wanted to cover it because a lot of people have been talking about it, and I wanted to give my 2 cents. This is just my strictly opinion. So as we all know, and I say this kind of jokingly, because it's a mocking tone when I say it, the solar eclipse that brought about the end of the world, of course. The solar eclipse happened. If you were in totality, it was really cool. If you weren't in totality, like where we are, wasn't in direct totality, it was just a sliver of light left, it was still pretty cool. Like, really cool. So, anyways, the eclipse happened. And in, I think it was Texas, there were solar eclipse watchers that were recording the eclipse, and it was kind of getting a little cloudy. And as they're recording up, this sleek bolt of like line goes across the sky very quickly, I might add. Now my daughter said, well, maybe it's a drone. And I'm like, nah, the way that this is flying, that guy would have to have like perfect control in cloudy conditions. That's rough. That's rough. This thing kind of sails through there like it's booking it. And it's kind of creepy because it kind of it's like Jordan Peele just said, here you go, guys. I'm going to throw something from my movies into real life because it looked like the thing from the UFO from I can't think of the freaking Jordan Peele movie now. And I love that movie. It's such a great movie. Nope. That movie. Jordan Peele's Nope. That shit. It kind of looked like the UFO from that jean jacket from that movie. It's really cool though, because it's a UFO. It's a UFO. It flies across the sky. Now, is it real? You know, have we gotten the hoax letter? The Texas, you know, solar eclipse hoax. Have we gotten that hoax letter yet? As far as I know, no, but I did want to bring it up. It's very interesting, and the video is it's very cool. So like I said, it's just this video of a shows the sky in this like line, and it just jets through, and then a few people react. But what catches me off guard is that there are people reacting. Now, I don't know if it's AI. You know, I don't know. It might have been an AI video, and you know, people have just are just having a hard time seeing that because it's so, you know, the clouds kind of dilute the ability to see that it is digital. Like, have we gotten so good at making clouds? You know, because I mean, we've gotten good at making digital hair. You know, on the movie Brave, you know, I watched that with my kids and I was like, man, that they made the hair look real. Like, they made it actually look like strands of hair were on each character's head. And I mean, they've gotten detailed with it. That's so cool. You know, when I was a kid, we had cartoons and it was like their hair was like a few strands and then like a big wave of lines. It was never really defined perfectly. But now we've got movies where they're, you know, digital and all computer generated, everything. And we've got AI intros to TV shows. It's really cool. So could this have been an AI? You know, maybe, but right now, as far as we know, nothing's come out saying that it's not real. So we've got something very, very interesting going on in the Texas solar eclipse, because it's really cool, guys. It's really cool. Check it out. I'll try and find a way to get it actually on the podcast page. But now on to the episode. As promised, I just wanted to kind of touch on that. I think it's a great video. It's very convincing to me. Looks legit to me. Now let's talk about the El Verde entity. So this took place in 1973, in autumn. The whole reason for this event was kind of based around a search for a child that a missing child. And instead of getting a missing child, they got a weird creature. Some strange thing. So this takes place in Puerto Rico in the Yunque National Forest. If I'm butchering that, I apologize, because I am a big dummy. And while I did take a second language, I was not a good retainer. So, big dummy. I know a few things, and I know a few things in French, and it's very sad. It's very sad. In Spanish, just a few, and it's bad. I didn't pay attention. Because I'm a dummy. And I'm okay to admit that. Yep. You're in here, folks. Anyways, moving on. In a this takes place in a national forest. It's 28,000 acres. Basically, if you're thinking about it, Puerto Rico, big sprawling national forest, that means, boom, rainforest, hot, sweltering jungle, predator. This is predator. No, basically, this is a national forest with a lot of animals, a lot of biodiversity, and it was kept that way because, you know, they're trying to make sure that there's something left to regrow and retake the rainforest. And it happened very mysteriously in this same rainforest, you know. And if you think about it, actually, when we're talking about this, I'm just going to say this. Look, predator vibes, okay? No, it's just, it's kind of weird, but it's you know, it's kind of like the Bell Witch. It's very, I don't want to say that the Bell Witch is responsible for John Bell's murder, because I don't, you know, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened there. If the Bell Witch claims to be responsible for John Bell's murder, then, I mean, you can't argue with her. She's the only person that can tell you that right now, you know? But I have a hard time kind of saying this because it's a very... We don't know. I mean, first of all, it's in Puerto Rico near a rainforest. So, but the people think that this is what was responsible for the missing child. That's why I have a hard time saying that, because it's rainforest, folks. We got frogs, reptiles, probably some large cats. You know, I'm not too sure. We've got rivers and rocks that are going to be in, you know, places that a child might not be able to, you know, get out of, and may slip and slide and, you know, hit their head. So, but that's why I say, you know, people think that this creature is responsible for the disappearance of the child, but here are facts as well. You know, let's hit it, but let's also say that this is a rainforest. Let's not throw the cryptid under the bus. You know, this cryptid may just be out there chilling, and this kid dies, and he's like, I could see this if the cryptid, you know, had, you know, a human-like intelligence, or an advanced intelligence. I don't want to say human-like, because I don't think we're that advanced. War. Anyways, I mean, defense is necessary, but committing acts of war aren't. You know, anyways, if you know, what do I know, though? Shut me up. Don't shut me up. I'm not going to shut up. Fuck you. Anyways, moving on. This thing's out there chilling and like, great, sees this dead kid. It's like, well, I'm getting blamed for this now. So, shit. Now I got to move. That's what I think. So, during the waning October 1973, at approximately 9 p.m., Jose Alomar Sr., and also thank you to Cryptopia USA for this information. At approximately 9 p.m., Jose Alomar Sr. and the mother of his children, Anna Dominguez, drove down the rugged, unpaved roads towards El Verde, a densely forested area in northern region of El Yunque National Forest. They were accompanied on this journey by their daughter and some additional unnamed friends. The group was not on a sightseeing expedition. Their task was far more solemn. Just 3 months earlier, Dominguez and Alomar's youngest child, Jose Alomar Jr., had vanished without a trace in this densely forested area. Jose Jr.'s family and friends were returning yet again to the scene of a potential crime, no doubt praying for a breakthrough in the search, or perhaps even an outright miracle. The disappearance of Jose Jr. was a tragic as was as tragic as it was mysterious, and tragic due to the overwhelming anguish that afflicts any family following the sudden disappearance of a child. Now, mysterious, not only because the whereabouts of the child were unknown, but because the circumstances surrounding his unexplained exodus have yet to be fully explained. So again, this family is going to go out into the jungle and look for a missing child. No parent ever wants to lose a child. No parent ever wants to bury a child. No parent ever wants to see their child suffer or be hurt. And if they do, then they're fucked up. You know, that's not a parent. That's an evil person. That's terrible. You should never, you know, people that, anyways, not to get into that, but that's a bad thing. So, but for any parent losing a child, you're going to do whatever it takes. Hell, look at Joyce Byers from freaking Stranger Things. Look at the lengths that she went to get Will back. Perfect example. Look at, you know, basically, we could even use Ripley and Newt in Aliens, the second movie in the Aliens anthology. Ripley goes above and beyond to save Newt and take her back and, you know, save her life and protect her. If, you know, that any parents would do anything for their children and to protect them and keep them safe. So these people are driving back out to where their child went missing last. So I say again, this is a rainforest, though. Keep that in mind. This is a rainforest. First and foremost, this is not a place for you to go play. Now, like, look, I'm not even going to lie to you. When I was a kid, we lived on 5 acres in the middle of nowhere with a huge, huge forest behind my house and then open field for a few acres and then huge forest again. We had coyotes, bobcats. Heck, we probably had panthers and didn't even know it. I doubt that, but anything's possible. I've camped out there, so I know that there are bobcats. I know that there are foxes. I know that there are coyotes. The coyotes tend to stay away simply because we have a neighbor who has donkeys next door. And also we have horses and, you know, the land that I used to camp on, it's, you know, family land. So, but, you know, that property is always good and very diverse, you know, so I know what's out there. I would let my kids go out there in the middle of the night. You know, that's how sure of, you know, first of all, my kids, but also how safe that land is and how I know what's out there. You know, when I was a teenager, my friends and I, we used to go out and we would, you know, just go out into the woods and make bonfires and chill out and smoke weed. You know, you do things when you're a dumb teenager, like smoke. And we would go out and chill out and either be dumb idiots or just relax. And maybe we had a rope swing that we would use. And not the best idea in the middle of the night. Yeah. Very stupid. But we did. It was dumb. I admit. Like, we did stupid stuff. And now I'm thinking back to how did we survive? Oh, God. Anyways, yeah, because I'm sitting there going, you're using a rope swing in the middle of the night in a forest, and there are several trees around this rope swing that you could very much hit and run into and possibly get a concussion. Why? But that was my teenage years, folks. Oh, God. I think back, and you think back to it and you go, I survived. I made it this far. Me. Looking back at what I did, I made it. I made it. I made it. Yay me. but enough of my teenage idiocracy. For reasons unknown, Jose Sr. pulled in front of an isolated and abandoned ranch house and began searching the grounds accompanied by his friends. Well, I mean, for reasons undisclosed. It's not undisclosed. He's looking for his missing child, thinking, oh, hey, there's a building. Might be abandoned. If he's cold and he's tired, he'll go in there and look for food and maybe shelter. Let's search that. So they went in with her friend, and either way, they started looking around and just kind of seeing if maybe Jose Jr. had shown up or if somebody was home. You know, hey, have you seen my son? Have, you know, this kid been around? So either way, Ann and her daughter had either requested or been commanded to remain in the car, which was parked on the roadside. The mother and daughter huddled together inside the vehicle as the men disappeared from view. Exhausted and despondent, Ann rested her head against the glass of the passenger side window. That was when she heard the voice of her missing son calling from the darkness beyond the glass. Yeah. Yeah. Think about that. Think about that for a second. Abandoned ranch house. Your child is there. He's there. He was there. No, I'm kidding. Startled and certainly elated, Ann appeared into the inky void, but was unable to find the source of the sound. The voice of Jose Jr. emanated again, and this time from the left side of the vehicle. Anna and her daughter clearly heard him repeat his request. Open the car door. I'm back. People in the back, say it with me. Don't open the car door until you see the person in front of you and you know it's them. That simple. That simple. That simple. So, of course, what are you going to do if you hear your child's voice outside the car, that the child that is missing? You're gonna instinctively go, oh, where's my child? Look for your child and then go for the lock. You're gonna open the door because you want your child back in your arms automatically. If your child has been missing for any amount of time without you, you want that child back in your arms. So instinctively, Anna reached for the lock, but before she disengaged the mechanism, she noticed her daughter's eyes expanding in unmistakable horror. With a trembling finger, the little girl pointed outside the window. Anna followed her child's gaze and gasped in horror. Looming over the windshield was a 7-foot-tall shadow, shrouded and impossibly thin, non-human entity. I read that wrong. Shadow shrouded, an impossibly thin humanoid entity. A non-human entity, which Anna described as having a huge egg-shaped head, long pointy ears, and two huge black oval-shaped eyes. Okay, well, the ears are very creepy, but there's a simple explanation. Oval-shaped eyes. Big ears. Wolverine. Just saying. Hear me out. He did some time in South America. I'm just saying. And if not that, then it's werewolf Kamen Rider. Because that's what one of the pictures looks like. So, Anna would further state that no other facial features were visible as the unusual entity's visage was cloaked almost entirely in darkness. So, I mean, obviously because it was coming out of the darkness. The terrified pair stared silently at the unblinking eyes of the ebony fiend when it suddenly lunged forward, placing its large three-fingered chicken claw-like hand flat against the windshield. It was then that Anna's maternal instincts took over and she began slamming on the car horn and shrieking for her boyfriend to come save them. Just when it seems as if their fates had been sealed, Jose Sr. and his makeshift posse came running from around the back of the house, but by the time they arrived at the car, the thing, whatever it may have been, had vanished. The panicked women told the men about the creature they had seen. Most disturbedly, they both swore that the voice they had heard was that of Jose Sr. However, Anna was unsure if they had actually heard the voice audibly or if the sound had been implanted in their minds telepathically. So, you're sitting there in a car by yourself. Well, not by yourself, but with your daughter, your other child, and you hear your son's voice. First of all, creepy, very disturbing. And you hate to hear that. You hate to hear that fact that something like that is out there and it's mimicking your child. So then it lunges at you and you have to start just honking the horn and I would assume flashing the lights at it. I would be flashing like trying to blind the thing. You know, like low beam, high beam, low beam, high beam, low beam, high beam. And they would be freaking out like, oh, God. It is unreported and difficult to imagine what Jose Sr.'s reaction was to his family's unbelievable tale, but he was likely swayed towards sympathy simply by the sheer terror in the eyes of his common-law wife and daughter. And that is the only run-in that we have actually had with the entity that's known as the El Verde entity. That's the only group of people that have really come forward about it. So a lot of people believe that this thing may have been a demon and that it was just kind of skulking around this rainforest. It had taken this child and now it was coming and it was found somebody else to go after. This ranch house may have been the scene of a murder. You know, there are a lot of things that have kind of come around as kind of ideas or what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of an explanation for why this thing was there, you know, what it was. You know, was it some kind of alien that had just, you know, recognized they were looking for her son and reached into their memory and pulled that and, you know, used that to try and get into the car because it wanted to speak to them. You know, some people think it was, you know, some strange creature from the jungle. And it's very strange, very, very odd. But again, I sway you back to this. While the El Verde entity is very strange and creepy, and you know, the possibility of mimicry kind of points back to fae folk and the fae culture a little, but not too much. The fae culture have kind of used that a little, but also like it seems like other entities may use luring like that. I mean, it's very, very 100% like the other entities, other paranormal entities use luring to call you into the forest. Brujas and witches do that. They use glamour and luring to bring you into the forest. And heck, in D&D, there are sirens that lure you with a song. So, you know, could there have been some kind of strange fae-like, you know, sprite, fairy, imp creature that had been using some kind of, you know, telepathic communication or mimicry, magic to lure someone out of the car? Absolutely, sure. You know, it could it have been aliens? Who knows? You know, but it's very, very bizarre. Now, again, this is responsible for the disappearance of a child. I don't know about that. And again, who's to say that this isn't just a child who went missing in the jungle and then the parents saw something and thought it was something else? We don't know. But this is a very interesting story. My final say, it's the rainforest. Unfortunately, I think the child had probably had some kind of incident and fell and hurt himself or fell into a river and unfortunately passed. And did these parents see something? Quite possibly. There could still be something out in that jungle that doesn't make it not so. So who knows? You know, I will say this. I believe. You know, I do. I believe. I believe that there's something that may be out there. I believe that there could be some kind of creature, some kind of entity that either, yes, may have taken the child, and then, you know, the child, of course, was looking for its mom and was asking for it so it could learn how to shape words and mimic the child and use it after maybe eating it or killing it or who knows what. But what do I believe more? I believe that this child did what every child does, went to play where he normally played every day, and something happened. Was he maybe playing and slipped and fell? Did he maybe see this creature and you know, ran away, and as he was running away, you know, tripped and fell, or, you know, was running in, on the rocks and slipped and fell and, you know, got caught up in a river and couldn't swim? Or, you know, I mean, this kid probably grew up out in these rainforests, so he probably knew how to swim. So he may have slipped on the rocks and hurt himself. Somebody may have killed him, or the entity may have killed him. You know, several possibilities, but more likely in my head, I think that this kid, if he didn't see the entity and try and run from it, and if it's not the entity itself, if the entity isn't real and it didn't kill him, or he didn't just see it and hurt himself, then that's, you know, that's what this is. Just this kid was out in the rainforest and hurt himself and passed away, unfortunately. That's what I believe more likely. And I also believe that this episode is a wrap, unfortunately. So, boys and girls, thank you for listening to this episode. We appreciate it so much. And as always, scroll down there, drop a review, help us move up the charts. We really appreciate it here at the Paranormal Rabbit Hole. And of course, I've been your host, Hunter, and thank you for going down this paranormal rabbit hole with me.